Senate please come to order? Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
Senator Jackal. LaRoche shows 20 members present this morning.
Will the members please stand for the invocation by Father Herb McMurtry of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church?
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God of creation, that there is no weather in heaven. Let not the chill of this day get into our hearts and minds. May we be warm and cheerful, secure in the knowledge that your Spirit is among us here, that no clouds can blot you out nor storm drive you away. As winter blows icy breath along the streets of our cities, towns, and villages, may our concern go out to all who need encouragement, to all who lack food and clothing, to all who are cold and cheerless, to all who long for home and friendship. Help us in our abundance to be more willing to share the good things of life. Give us generous spirits as we work together and such concern for others that will mark us as servants for the common good. We ask this through your holy name. Amen.
Senator Taylor, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the second legislative day and House and Senate Joint Journal Supplement Number 10.
Senator Taylor.
Yeah, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal and supplement be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the journal and supplements are approved as certified by the Senate Secretary. That brings us to introduction of guests. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce three individuals who are with us today in the Ziegler Gallery. Excuse me. One of those, two of those individuals are my constituent. One of them a constituent of Senator Pierce. I'd like to introduce first a lady that many of us know. She worked for many years in the Chief Clerk's office in the House, and is here visiting us today. Edith Carter. Edith. And with her are her friends, one my constituent and one Senator Pierce's from Anchorage, Ruth Talley, and her son, Larry. Welcome.
Further guests for introduction? That brings us to messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the House?
There are no messages from the House.
Communications?
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 37, urging the Congress to enact H.R. 1033 or similar legislation authorizing construction grants for publicly owned treatment works in economically distressed rural communities, and recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Phillips, Chair, concurring Senators Adams, Lehman, Taylor, and Jara, updated zero fiscal and attached. House Joint Resolution Number 37 has a further referral to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, and those are all the standing committee reports this morning.
Reports, special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills?
Senate Bill Number 241 by Senators Helford, Pierce, Kelly, Donnelly, Curtula, Sharp, Ellis, and Frank, an act related to the management of Cook Inlet stocks of salmon.
Resources?
Senate Bill Number 242 by Senator Taylor, an act relating to office hours of state agencies.
State affairs?
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
That brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Citations honoring Senior Captain Richard Hofstede, Senators Taylor, Jarup, Curtula, Duncan, Pierce, Lehman. Honoring Charles E. Cole, Senators Halford, Sharp, Jacko, Jarup, Curtula, Duncan, Adams, Lehman, Phillips, Salo, Pierce, Little, and Little. Honoring Brenda Campen, Senators Taylor, Jarup, Curtula, Duncan, Salo, Pierce, Little, and Lehman. Honoring Cheryl Gerardot, Senators Taylor, Jarup, Curtula, Duncan, Salo, Pierce, Little, and Lehman.
Senator Curtula.
President, on Charlie Cole, Charlie Cole was a star of this administration. His knowledge, his experience, and his negotiating ability are second to none in this state. He certainly is one of the top 10, maybe the top lawyer, certainly as a generalist, he definitely was. There are very few people that are not replaceable in the scheme of things. Charlie Cole essentially is one of those. This administration will not find anyone that had his competence or knowledge to replace him. I, for one, think the state and its multi-billion-dollar negotiations that are continuing on is going to have lost something that was very important to it with Charlie's leaving state service. I think he did so in a system that was an error. People that don't know what they're doing set up a block in a system that made it impossible to function. And I'm very, very distressed with Charlie's leaving us. Again, I, for one, appreciate his good service and appreciate your introduction of the citation. Thank you.
I would like to associate myself with those remarks. Senator Kelly.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent. I'd be allowed to co-sponsor the citation on Charlie Cole.
Without objection, Senator Kelly will be added as a co-sponsor. Senator Frank, Senator Miller, Senator Lincoln, Senator Taylor. Senator Taylor.
I would ask unanimous consent the citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved by the Senate. That brings us to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the Senate? Senator Pierce.
Be excused from the call of the Senate from Thursday, the 20th of January at 5 p.m. until Monday, the 24th January, morning plain time for state business.
Without objection, Senator Pierce will be excused as requested. Senator Frank?
Yeah, I'd like to be shown, or I'm moving to ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on the citation honoring Jerry Hartstock.
Without objection, Senator Frank will be shown on the citation requested. Further unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Phillips?
Mr. President, I want to remind the members of the Budget and Audit Committee we will have a meeting at 3:30. There's going to be a slight change in the agenda because some of the members for the oil tax settlement did not make it to Juneau today due to weather. So what I'm going to do is take everything on the calendar today with the exceptions of the oil tax settlement discussion and the RPLs on Friday, hopefully at 12 noon Friday. Everything else on the agenda for legislative budget and audit will be still be taken up today at 3:30 in the House Finance room.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements? Senator Salo.
May we have a brief at ease, please?
Stand at ease, please. Will the Senate please come back to order? We are under announcements. Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm sorry I didn't do this under unfinished business, but I would like to bring up my reconsideration of the vote on the Committee on Committees report as I noticed yesterday.
The reconsideration of the vote on the Committee on Committees report is before us at this time. Senator Salo.
Thank you. When I served notice of reconsideration yesterday, I did so to give myself some more time to check on the precedent for this dual role and to see if there were any additional compelling arguments that would prevent us from making what I think is a bad mistake. My concern is twofold. First, I think we're removing a very important check and balance from a very crucial part of the legislative process. And it's not always that there is total agreement between the rules chair and the president of the body. I think that that's an important distinction. Secondly, this arrangement, I think, allows the greatest possibility that the most important of the Ethics Committee recommendations is in name only. Since the former rules chair loses no staff, retains his seat on the committee, and presumably his relationship with the new chair, it's not only cynical, but it's also possible that nothing changes. The message from the Ethics Committee and the message that I continue to get from the public is clear, and that is that they do want the Ethics Committee recommendations enforced and taken very seriously. I urge you to reconsider your vote. I think this is a bad idea for the two reasons that I mentioned and probably for several others. Thank you.
Further debate? Yep. Senator Frank?
Just a brief response. I think that the president will discharge the duties effectively, and I think that it's pretty obvious that there's going to have to be a look at scheduling of bills that have support to go on the floor. I don't see any real opportunity for the president to abuse power, to hold bills in committee, or to somehow misuse the power of the chairmanship of the Rules Committee. It wasn't the president's idea in the first place to assume this duty. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about. I think that we will continue to have a body that's characterized by a whole lot of check and balance. We have a very strong and vocal minority that will, I'm sure, do its best to ensure that we have an open airing of all issues that come before this body. And I think that the body will work effectively.
Question before the
Senate. Mr. President.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. To my colleague, or through the chair, to my colleague from Fairbanks, he mentioned that it wasn't the president's idea to assume this additional important duty. I'd pose the question, whose idea was it? I think the rest of us are entitled to know whose idea it was, because it's a bad one.
Well, I suggested it. I don't know if others suggested it or not.
From Fairbanks was not recognized, Mr. President.
Senator Frank.
I don't mind saying I'm among those that suggested it. I know I read in the paper that the majority leader suggested it.
The question before the Senate is, shall the Committee on Committees report be adopted on reconsideration? Senator Donovan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I guess now that the report was in effect at least the last day, I would suppose. I guess I'm unclear about that. Because it was on reconsideration, was it in effect the last 24 hours or whatever?
Well, it was with regard to citations only. That was the only thing that was done.
Okay.
If it had been fully in effect and implemented, it would not have been available for reconsideration. I'd let the reconsideration go forward.
Okay.
And I didn't think there was any substantive difference.
Okay. Thank you.
Question before the Senate is, shall the Committee on Committees report be adopted on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the Committee on Committees report has been adopted by a vote of 11 yeas to 9 nays on reconsideration. We are under announcements, I believe. Senator Duncan.
Hey, Mr. President. Yes, under announcements. I just wanted to announce to the body that apparently there's been some problem with folks parking in places where they're removing snow and their cars have been being towed or have been in danger of being towed, and I met with the city this morning on a number of other issues. They wanted me to assure the members of this body that they're trying to inform us very well about when they're going to be removing snow and that they will be making postings of streets that snow removal will happen on, and the times will be posted throughout this building. So watch very carefully so that your car doesn't happen to get towed away and there's a problem. Secondly, of course, they do post it also on the streets that are going to be, and they do that 24 hours in advance. So I just wanted to mention that, that no one's trying to hassle anybody with the exception of the Senate President, but I didn't mean to. I think you had a problem, but anyway,
Senator Duncan, they enforced it exactly to me as they'd enforced it to somebody else.
And they should,
I think my office has already sent it. I paid the ticket for their towing my car away.
Yes.
I was at a dinner and didn't get out as quick as I thought, so their sign took effect 20 minutes before I got there, and the car was gone, and I went and got it.
And they should have done that. And I congratulate them for it. No, really, but seriously, they wanted me to express to the body that they will try to post those notices also on the building so you know well in advance as to when you should be parking someplace and not parking someplace. Okay.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, Monday is Martin Luther King Day, and it's, of course, a state holiday. The House will not be meeting on Monday, and at your direction, I will be contacting the members of the Senate and determine whether or not they feel that we should meet in session on Monday also.
Thank you, Senator Kelly. Senator Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under announcements.
Under announcements.
The Rules Committee will be meeting tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. in the Fire Camp Room. The bills to be considered will be posted today on the board outside.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Pierce.
Yes. Finance Committee announcements tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., a revenue overview by Commissioner Rexwinkle, and it's a joint meeting with House Finance. Any Senate member interested, we would welcome. We'll be meeting again on Monday morning at 9 a.m. for a budget overview by Shelby Stastny, Director of the Office of Management and Budget. That's also a joint meeting with House Finance.
Thank you. Further announcements? Senator Jarrow.
It's a question, Mr. President, to the co-chair of Finance. Is that going to be in the Senate Finance Committee or in the House Committee? Or Finance? Senate? Thank you.
Further announcements? That brings us to special orders. Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to be able to speak about an African elephant for a moment. Constituent
Senator
of ours.
Senator Curtula, elephant.
Mr. President, because the majority party in this body has long supported the Democrats on behalf of jackasses, I have come forward with a concern. That is, there is one privately owned elephant in this state. Is not a disease carrier, either brucellosis or tuberculosis. It's 9 years old. Poachers killed the mother. The elephant's name is Moxie. The gentleman who brought it to Alaska has cared for this elephant for the past 7 years. Department of Fish and Game has ordered the elephant out of the state by the end of this month. Now, you know, the Matanuska Valley has long had cattle, llamas, exotic animals of various sorts. And I've always had a great concern, which I mentioned here on moose farming, that I still have a concern about the potentials of transmission of disease in enclosed animals. But Moxie is disease-free insofar as transmission, I understand, of tuberculosis, brucellosis, and so on. It is the symbol of your party, the majority party, which I assume will be endlessly seen in parades around the state in time to come. And I frankly enlist all your support, and particularly that of the Natural Resources Committee, in inquiring on behalf of Moxie. It's a national concern now, it's all over the country, as to why anybody wants to get rid of Moxie, the sole privately owned elephant in the state, 9-year-old, very nice animal. No problem to anybody, and it's ridiculous. I think that unless I am in error, it can be proved that, it borders on some type of arrogance that's born, again, of some law, which I think is just regulation, that would suggest that we shall always do and forever do whatever we've been doing the same way. I believe that if the animal is free of all diseases and be proven to be, there's no problem with anybody at this stage. It's well cared for. There's only one in the state that I know of outside of a zoo. It ought to be left alone. And the borough assemblyman from your or my area, depending on the time of day, contacted me on this. And I think natural resources ought to take it up, frankly. I'm going to protest it, of course, but I would appreciate natural resources at least asking the question of the commissioner.
Thank you, Senator Curtula. I see the committee chairman indicating that he will do that, and I will certainly do that as well. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I have the permission of the body to speak on elephants also?
Without objection, under special orders on elephants, Senator Miller.
Through the chair to the senator from the Matthew Valley, if I incorporate elephant farming, would he support the bill then?
The elephant moose farming legislation will be coming. There'll be a Mellifont or something. Further special order, Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the floor to have the privilege of the floor to speak on cooperation versus constructive debate?
Senator Adams, on cooperation versus constructive debate.
Thank you, Mr. President. 244 days have passed since adjournment from the Senate chambers since last May. Although many aspects of our state government remains the same, one facet, that of our economic situation, has changed dramatically. We face two serious issues over the next 120 days. One first stems from funds that were improperly diverted from the constitutional budget reserves. The second concerns the low oil prices estimates and a most certain shortfall of needed revenues. We listened to the governor last night. He stated to each one of us, let's not let the price of oil blind us. Doesn't he realize that we are in a financial deficit? Then I would ask one of you in this body, one of you to please go wake up the little man and tell him this. Relate this message to him. The crisis demands attention. I disagree with the governor when he states not to overreact. There are a lot of resources. This situation needs attention, demands cooperation within this body, demands cooperations with the other body, and it demands repeated constructive debates so that we can resolve these issues before we adjourn again. We cannot skirt our responsibilities by waiting for a Supreme Court to order a fix that we already know that we're responsible for. It is ridiculous enough that the courts we use to define our financial responsibilities in the first place. We spend the funds, we sue ourselves, we lose, we appeal. This situation and that per diem concept that was passed, that eeny, meeny, moe concept that was passed by the Legislative Council neophytes. These two concepts reminds me of a movie, and you need to rent this movie. It's called Blazing Saddle. You need to be the black sheriff in that particular movie, because these two concepts, Mr. President, reminds me of which way this particular coalition is going. We also cannot continue to rank our political party agendas head of and in the way of our working together in this particular body. As a Democrat, even I can appreciate the positive qualities in a Republican philosophy. There are certain benefits to self-reliance, low taxes, and the free enterprise system. However, something went amiss with the Republican Party philosophy in this particular body. Lost in the process was the principle of financial restraints and the loss of campaign promises. What joy can be found in the majority if one sacrifices the very premise of when one was elected? If we in the Senate do not change our method of operating, we are wasting our time. We are wasting the people's time in our state, and we are wasting money. We are wasting years of experience, knowledge, and talent that was urgently needed to arrive at a constructive solution. Our first move of this particular body should be to reduce the present state's $2.8 billion budget we pass, while still respecting collective bargaining. We need to eliminate waste, particularly the waste of duplications. I, as a past finance chairman, can give you some of those. Each one of us in this particular body has some. We can eliminate the Office of Budget and Management. The reason is because you have a budget analyst in the 19th department that will be testifying in each one of those departments. We can eliminate the Office of Ombudsman Services because our staff duplicates that efforts and can solve those particulars for our constituents. The Tokyo office can be eliminated. We can do international trade from Alaska. We can eliminate all special assistance to each commissioner because we have deputy commissioners that can do those particular services. These are some of the ones that if we cooperate with each other in the operating budget, we can start making the reduction. But it takes both of us. What is yours? Some of you have ideas. If each of you came up with ideas like this, some would be good, some would be bad. But ideas like these just given you, there's $8.6 million that can be reduced. The capital budget that we passed needs to be pared down to a core of basic needs. And each of us needs to describe that. It needs to be basic needs. Water school, water and sewer, school construction, higher education. You've heard me with the capital matching grant program is a mess. I think that we should reappeal that statute. It was going to be a predictable mess. It was developed to instill a sense of ownership in capital projects, but what really is happening is that the municipalities do not now nor will have anything to own or build because they cannot afford the match requirements that we set out. We would be far better to trim off the capital budget down to perhaps $300 million or less and eliminate the match requirements because the current policy only stifles needed project development. We need to redefine the role of state government to one that serves to maintain order, education, safety, and health for our citizens. That's it. No more and no less. We need to each of us ask the question, what is government? This redefinition of government provokes logic and obvious solutions to our economic dilemma. We have grossly underutilized assets that we should sell as quickly and profitable as we can. You have heard me before. The first should go is the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. We could recover easily hundreds of million dollars. This should be taken over by mortgage companies, financial institutions. How many of us in this particular room this summer got 6.5% refinancing on our home for 15 years by a local financial institute? I did. That's available to each Alaskan. There is no need for this particular asset. I says to you in the past, we should get rid of the choo-choo. I've always said that. And I think that we should look at selling the Alaska Railroad System. You have to ask yourself also, what in state government is an underutilized asset that we can sell or get rid of? I really think that's one of the things that we should be looking at if we cooperate with each other. One of the things that we need to seriously look at is privatization. It's no new word. We've always stated it. But what service can we give to collective bargaining or non-collective bargaining groups? Is it such as the maintenance and operation of buildings, highways, airports? It's a good constructive debate that we need to take in consideration. We need to create incentives to encourage development of all resources. Grant exploration incentives to the oil industry. But it must be an equal incentive to both the state and private lands. We cannot set up different incentives on these particular lands. It's got to be an equal incentive. We need to continue to create access to new mining and maintain a climate that is friendly to mining activities. Until we address these issues, until we get rid of the unnecessary assets, until we tailor our state budget to a level that directly meets basic government needs. Until we accomplish these tasks, I say it's premature to tax our citizens. In some of your minds, in my day of House Finance, I've spent a few pennies. However, however, there was revenue to cover that expenditures, except in one case, Mr. President. That is the case when we put $1.8 billion in the permanent fund. I can tell stories of when me and the President were in the majority in 1989. We voted for a budget that was $512 million, less than we voted. We both got kicked out. This year you voted for it, and I stayed in the minority, but heck, philosophies and priorities change sometimes. One of the things that we also need to do is bite the bullet and cap the permanent fund at some figure. The extra money resulting from the cap should roll into forward funding. The forward funding idea is not a new idea. You will have people state this. That idea came in 1982, and it was a great idea. And it makes sense now, and it's one that we should debate cooperatively. If the capital budget is going to be decreased in a sense, and it needs to, we need to look at bonding as a way to meet the requirements of school construction and water and sewer. Shouldn't each Alaskan have the same health condition as you and I have here in Juneau? See, we take that for granted. We still need to solve that particular issue as water sewer. As well as addressing these critical economic circumstances, you have issues, but I have four issues demanding creative thinking and tough decision. Our old friend subsistence sits unresolved again as a result of court ruling this fall. Why? Why are we afraid to let our constituents vote yes or no on this pressing issue? Don't talk to me about owner state. Don't talk to me about what we need to take our country back when we can't even or won't even give our Alaskans in each of our villages or cities a chance to vote yes or no on this issue. The governor passed out these caps last night, Alaska first. Bah, humbug. You know, that isn't right, and be two-faced about this. He needs to at least let Alaskans vote on that crucial issue. Another old friend. The mental health dilemma. It's still there. We need to work on that issue. There is a method to provide affordable health care to our residents. That needs design and implementation. And finally, I know we need to resolve our relationship with federal government in respect to resources and resource extraction. You cannot have an administration that is always on the course of litigation. It doesn't work. You just can't sue. But yet in the meantime, we're not bashful to take federal funds, right? And we do that all the time. We will be looking at litigation versus worse settlement, as in the oil tax settlement. We lost a great friend there, and then we gave a citation today, and that was Charlie Cole. He was one of the few people in this administration that had a respectable IQ. And he is one that's going to be missed. We need to engage in constructive debate on the definition of amount available for appropriation. And whether it's the majority of the vote to take this money or three-fourths. And we will debate what source of funding is this. Is this the permanent fund reserves that have the incumbent balances? Or is it the permanent fund earning reserves that has the dividends and the inflation proofing? We will debate the statutory budget reserves, the constitutional budget reserves. There is some extra money, the Alaska Science and Technology. Take that money. There's $113 million to solve that. Leave them three with that. Take that money. Pull off that statute. But the key to solving these difficulties lies in cooperation. And first is cooperation within this particular body, this Senate body. We will not achieve cooperation unless we operate under rules that is fair. One of the rules that is Uniform Rule 1E, an appropriate representation on committees by minority members. I fail to appreciate what is gained by retaining the conflict and tension that permeated this chamber last session and today. The Finance Committee in particular could use an infusion of the knowledge and experience of minority members. I came here to work out some of these problems, and I'm willing to share the burden surrounding the tough choices ahead. But I am not willing to take responsibilities for decisions that I am not allowed to assist in the development, and nor are my colleagues. Again, the governor stated, let's not let the price of oil blind us. There is no merit in that particular statement. But however, what's happening in this body is disagreement and personalities that blinds us to the accomplishments, such as the financial situation of the state and other issues. I trust that my fellow senators will use the vast talents available here so we can accomplish the work we need to get done. It's your decision, Mr. President, your decision whether you want a cooperating working session in perhaps 101 days, or if you want a long session. To me, it's mox nix. I'm going to enjoy myself. Because this Eskimo is happy to have the Republicans in charge once in a while to show the people in the state of Alaska what a mess it is when this happens. I'm perfectly happy being an Eskimo and a Democrat today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Kelly.
President, I raised a point of clarification. I appreciate the major work and effort that went into the speech by the Eskimo from Kotzebue, and I agree with a large number of the ideas that put forward. My problem is I think that he misspoke.
Senator Kelly, we're under special orders. If you're
going to
do anything other than a simple question, you should ask the privilege of the floor.
I ask the privilege of the floor to clarify a statement made.
Without objection, you have the privilege of the floor.
I think what the senator meant to say was that we should cap the permanent fund dividend checks. I think what he actually said was we should cap the permanent fund, and I just wanted to make sure that was the understanding. Okay.
Senator Adams, in response, under special orders.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. That is correct.
Further special orders? Senator Taylor, could we
stand
at ease?
Anybody else?
Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Taylor?
Yes, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. January 13.
Without objection, we're adjourned till 11 tomorrow.